Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast, and welcome to December. It is the 1st of December, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, joined by Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller on the news today. They'll have stories on the importance of conservation practices on U.S. farmland and some fungicides to think about for the next crop year. On the Hat Podcast, it's brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. Winter is definitely here, arriving over the weekend, and Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says the cold continues, with more snow possible, too. The Friday corn and soybean markets were higher throughout the slightly shortened session. Final numbers for you and analysis with Mike Castle of Stone X coming up on the Hat Monday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
The push for voluntary conservation practices and tackling tar spot in 2026. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today News. Climate smart agriculture. It was a term we heard a lot during the Biden administration, but now during the Trump administration, we're not hearing those same buzzwords like we used to. But it doesn't mean the conservation practices aren't still a priority. Eric Pfeiffer has more.
I've talked to the chief a number of times about where do we want this administration's NRCS policy, where do we want their head at?
That's Richard Fordyce, USDA Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation.
It's all about putting voluntary conservation on agriculture land all day, every day, period. Right? No other political statements, no other kind of priorities, but putting conservation on agriculture land voluntarily.
Fordyce, a farmer from Missouri, says he spent most of his adult life advocating for soil conservation and water quality improvements, having served as chair of the Missouri Soil and Water Conservation Districts. He says that on their farm, they employ conservation practices, and if they find something new, they want to implement it. But from a policy perspective,
we're not telling anybody what they have to do. You know, a farmer can choose to implement whatever conservation practice is going to fit in their land, right? So like in Indiana, you've got a myriad of soil types. And so, you know, one conservation practice in one part of the state is going to work, and a lot of people, you know, subscribe to that. Another part of the state, it's going to be something different. And what's great about NRCS and that suite of conservation practices is we likely have something that will fit that farm the best for that geography where it's at.
Fordyce encourages farmers to reach out to NRCS to explore what assistance could be available for your farm. You can also reach out to organizations like the Indiana Ag Nutrient Alliance or the Conservation Cropping Systems Initiative. And hear more from Fordyce in the Indiana Ag Policy Podcast. You can find it at HoosierAgToday.com and watch it on our Facebook page. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
Tackling tar spot and stopping southern rust are just two of the main objectives next year for corn producers, and that's why FMC has a couple of fungicides to consider for 2026.
We introduced Adastrio here a year or so ago, a foliar fungicide in corn.
And that's Gail Stratman, Regional Technical Manager with FMC.
Very strong on tar spot, southern rust, gray leaf spot, northern corn leaf blight, all those big yield robbers that we see in corn. Adastrio has shown tremendous abilities to combat those diseases and offers that plant health protection that we're looking throughout the season.
Another fungicide for corn producers from FMC is Xyway.
To manage some of that early season disease pressure, and it kind of sets them up for determining whether or not they need that foliar in-season application after tassel. We've added side dress applications to that, where we can now do that application in season in a growing crop, put it between the rows, the roots pick it up, and the disease protection happens from there.
Stratman adds, if you've been lucky enough not to have tar spot or southern rust show up yet, it doesn't mean that you're still in the clear for next year.
Corn has always got a host of disease pathogens that it can produce and be subjected to. Every year is a little bit different. We need to be diligent, staying in tune with our retailers, our crop consultants, our extension folks, because they're going to be the first line of identifying exactly what's happening and offering that predictability of potentially what could be a problem.
Learn more about Adastrio or Xyway by visiting ag.fmc.com. You can also find that same link at our website, HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Farmers know that hard work has its rewards. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America has designed our operating loans to work just as hard for you in return. Earn 1.5% cash back on all purchases when you connect your operating loan to our disbursement card. Because in times like these, some extra cash back never hurts. Visit fcma.com/operating to learn more. Disbursement card for use with an operating loan. Operating loans are subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Now on the Hat Podcast, Ryan Martin's Indiana Farm Forecast, brought to you by the Indiana Ag Nutrient Alliance.
Mother Nature continuing to show us it is winter time. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. After the snow events of this past weekend, we're going to get ready for around 2, 3, maybe even 4 here over the next couple of weeks. Here's what's going on to start the week. Today, Monday, we have high pressure pooling over the eastern Corn Belt. I think it's enough to keep us precipitation-free through most of the daytime hours here. But as we move toward a late evening and overnight, we've got another wave of moisture headed towards us coming out of southern Iowa, northern Missouri, and across central Illinois. This is likely going to put down snow across the northern part of the state tonight through tomorrow midday. I-70 northward, I think we have to allow for a coating to maybe 2 or 3 inches. You get far, far, far northwest Indiana, maybe that's slightly higher, pushing 4, but still nothing like what we saw this past weekend. I-70 southward, fresh coating to a few flurries, that is all. Everybody is in the snow part of this, though. I am not concerned about rain mixing in or any ice at all. Most of this is going to be done and gone by midday tomorrow, and we turn out partly sunny to finish things out. The rest of the week, on again, off again, cloud cover, but no major precipitation for Wednesday, Thursday, and early Friday. Now, Friday late afternoon, another story. Big area of low pressure lifting up from the southwest. This time we have rain and snow potential both. Rain in southern Indiana, snow in the north. I think we can see snow accumulations from I-70 north again, but we're going to wait to see the track of the low before we dive in too much. Remember, the track of the low really set us up for big snows in the north this past weekend, but it fell off quickly from I-70 southward. That doesn't mean even with low snow accumulations, we don't have problems. Once again, take a look at I-70 this past weekend. But snow totals, we're going to wait just a bit on that, but definitely seeing some moisture in here to finish the week. By the time we get to Saturday afternoon, I think it's done. Sunday has some lake effect and definitely another round of cold air. That's the thing. I don't think we get back to normal temperatures at all across the Hoosier State over the next 2, 2.5 weeks or so. We just continue to see incursions of moisture into a cold air mass. The next one may be toward midweek the following week around December 10th, and we can see another area of precipitation trying to come together toward the end of our 15-16-day forecast window around the 14th into the 15th. So, very active here, very chilly for sure. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
The end of the year reinforces the value of collaboration. From neighbors lending a hand to partners sharing know-how, teamwork is essential and is how Indiana Ag Nutrient Alliance operates on its mission of enabling viable farms, healthy soil, and clean water. Indiana's ag and commodity groups, alongside state government and conservation leaders, work together to vet practices that improve the environment while protecting farmers' bottom line. Helping Indiana farmers thrive is a win for all.
When it comes to their customers, Seed Genetics Direct can be a little nosy. They want to know where you live, your farm's geography and soil type, and even your environmental challenges. After all, Seed Genetics Direct uses more than 40 company-owned and third-party research locations throughout Indiana and Ohio to test their corn and soybean lineups. And with that many research locations, there's at least one similar to your farm that will help Seed Genetics Direct guide you on the path to growing success. Value, knowledge, performance, it's in their genetics. Seed Genetics Direct.
This is Hoosier Ag Today in the Thursday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. Markets were, of course, closed on Thursday for Thanksgiving, so there are no numbers to report. But Wednesday was a positive day, and at the end of that session, I checked in for some comments with Carl Setzer, Consus Ag Consulting. The markets ended the holiday shortened week prior to Thanksgiving on a positive note, and Carl, really, it was a pretty significant move higher in comparison to recent sessions. Strong, especially soybeans and corn. What did you make of that Wednesday move?
Well, it was a reversal of what we saw Monday, Tuesday, and even you can make the case last Friday. We started out with selling pressure, and really it wasn't what I would call heavy selling pressure. We just didn't have buyers coming into the pits here to start out the week. And as it progressed, we obviously did see a little bit more. And then we came in Wednesday, and really Wednesday was what you would call the last trading day of the month, so to speak. We do have Friday's trade coming up, an abbreviated session. But most everybody shored up their positions here Wednesday and walked away and covered some of their weak short positions. But we are starting to see a little buying interest come in the market. And this was evident in corn on Wednesday when we had the announcement values in China are reaching record high values on their corn, even though they claim to have just harvested a bumper crop. So we're doing a little head scratching on that one. End of the day, it does appear China may end up being a corn importer this year. They've already bought some out of South America for blending. To see them come to the U.S. with the trade negotiations wouldn't hurt. And those trade negotiations really supported trade too. We did get news on Wednesday that China had bought another 10 to 20 vessels of soybeans. We didn't see any flash sales numbers, and we're looking for confirmation on this, but the rumor of it, especially after China's earlier wheat purchases, did give the soy complex much needed support into the break.
Ethanol grind report on Wednesday, and that appeared to be a pretty good report overall. Was it helpful to the market, though?
It really didn't give the market too much support, and we're right. We did see a cut in ethanol stocks. We're getting down to a seasonably low 21-plus million barrels. We had a 339,000-barrel draw on our ethanol stocks, even though production was up about 1.5% on the week. Blender demand was down and exports fell by 20,000 barrels a day. Still, we saw a lot of inter-country demand for ethanol, and that did take care of quite a bit of the stocks we had. The market's been looking a little bit closer at ethanol, though, and some concerns over the feedstock uncertainty and the inputs and the subsidies, the lack of clarity coming out of the White House, all of those factors starting to put a little bit of pressure on the ethanol industry.
Another day and the same old song and dance. We need to see more Chinese soybean purchases. Flash sales announcement only on Monday this week.
Yeah, and then we went dry after that. China is coming in, and what we're seeing, though, is some reports that China may be arbitraging soybeans out of those Argentine purchases that they made here earlier this fall. What that would entail is China had bought the soybeans from Argentina. Argentina is going to swap them contracts with a U.S. supplier, and the United States will deliver upon them. That would be really good news for the United States, and it might not show up in the weekly sales report. Some of this Chinese demand likely credited to that rumor that's coming out. Either way, the fact that China is shopping is positive in its own.
Carl Setzer, Consus Ag Consulting, 989-506-1587 is his number. It's the Hat Market Review. Again, no markets on Thursday for Thanksgiving. A shortened day of trade on Friday, closing at 105 Eastern. I'm Andy Eubank. Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.